say my name until the city burns and the stars fade away and your scars don't hurt. I will hold you till the sun comes crashing down. I'm yours until the end of time.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Restored to More podcast, a listener-supported podcast that is dedicated to restoring marriages to wholeness in Christ after being affected by pornography and sexual brokenness.
After betraying Charity with pornography and unwanted sexual behavior, we had no idea how to rebuild our relationship or even if it was possible to restore what was broken.
Today, by God's grace, we have learned how to connect again, laugh again, and rebuild spiritual, emotional, and sexual intimacy to an even greater experience than before.
Our goal is that as you hear our story, the stories of others, and the knowledge needed to heal, you too can have a marriage that is becoming restored to more.
I'm yours until the end of time.
Update everyone. Course 1 registrations are back open. Whoop whoop. This is an 8-week course starting Thursday, September 14th that is designed to help you and your spouse start the journey to becoming restored to more. It will be led by R2M certified coaches, Cody and Michelle Larson. We will be focusing on how to cultivate safety and trust, healthy communication, deal with triggers, and begin to discover how God can use crisis to create closeness. You can see all the details on our website and can register today at www.restoredtomore.com/courses. Also, if you have appreciated this podcast, a great way to say thank you is leaving a 5-star rating and a positive review. These reviews help more people find the podcast and experience hope and healing.
Say my name until the city.
Welcome back to the Restored to More podcast. We are so excited for our guest today. Our guest is Cindy Beal. She is a writer, a speaker, a mentor. She has been married to Chris since 1993. They have been in full-time ministry for most of their marriage. Cindy serves alongside Chris at Life Church at the Oklahoma City location. She has written 2 books, Healing Your Marriage When Trust is Broken and Rebuilding a Marriage Better Than New. You can connect with her on social media at Cindy Beal, or you can visit her website, cindybeal.com.
Cindy, thanks for being here today. We are so glad that you are here. You know, let's start by just having our audience get to know you a little bit. Why don't you share with us kind of a Reader's Digest version of your story?
You bet. Absolutely. I am honored that you asked me, so thanks so much. So almost 19 years ago, I guess this coming February, you know, we had just moved to Oklahoma. We'd been married 9 years. We had an almost 3-year-old. And we came to Oklahoma to be a part of Life Church under Craig and Amy Groeschel. And my husband was hired as a worship pastor. And after about 6 weeks on the job, he came home one Tuesday morning. It was February the 19th, to be exact. I remember it was like 9:30 in the morning. And he came home unexpectedly. And I knew something was wrong. And he sat me down. And he said, babe, I need to tell you something. And he basically told me that he'd been unfaithful to me many times, many different places, many different women. And obviously, if that information wasn't enough to just break my heart and ruin everything I could imagine, the final blow was that one of the women was pregnant, and he was pretty sure he was the father. And so my world went just, I mean, I laugh because it's just like, it's hard to even describe. 1 minute you're unpacking boxes because you're still getting settled in your new town, and the next your world is in shambles. And so that was almost 19 years ago. And so clearly we're still together. So got to spoil it for your listeners.
It's a good spoiler.
Good spoiler alert there. But I'm telling you, I know we're going to get into more questions, but our marriage is truly a redemptive work by the power of God through 2 people who said, okay, God, we trust you, and we'll do what we can to make this marriage work.
Wow.
So there it is, Reader's Digest.
And then obviously we know that that is a hard story to do a Reader's Digest version of.
Yes,
it is.
I mean, even you just saying 1 or 2 of those lines, I just felt the weight of that story.
Yeah. And a lot of people do, Clinton. They hear my story, like whether I'm speaking it from a stage or sharing it on a podcast like this, they sink in their hearts. Like they're just, they feel this gigantic weight on their shoulders, But what they don't understand is that I've been telling this story for 18 and a half years. Mm-hmm. And we've been living a redemptive life and a redemptive marriage for a long time. So we will definitely talk about obviously sharing the story in a little bit, but that's the power of the healing that's mm-hmm. happened. And so while you guys are hearing it and you're like, oh, that's so hard for me, I tell it and I'm like, way to go, God. Mm-hmm. Good job. You healed us, you mm-hmm. know?
Come on. You know, one thing we love to do is our 3 points are relate, elevate, and educate, or relate, educate, elevate. And I know that our listeners, you know, we're going to get some very hopeful things, which stay tuned because it's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. But if we could just kind of dive into your story a little bit and just relate on some topics for our listeners to go, oh, me too. You know, mm-hmm. I have felt right. that way as well. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I would
Absolutely.
Love, I heard you talk about this before, and I would love for you to just talk about this because I don't think many women like to share this part, but I've heard you talk about how, you know, we sometimes, as the betrayed, like, obviously our world just, it just crushed, you know, it just fell apart, you know, as right. I was thinking when you were saying, as you were, you know, unpacking boxes, and then you heard this news, I was thinking like, man, your thought process is probably like, well, looks like I'm packing back up these boxes
right.
because
right.
who knows what right. my future holds, right? And you just yeah. get in this survival mode, like, I just need to get somewhere safe. And so I would love to hear, you know, just, you know, where you were at mentally at that point, and how you've talked about sometimes how women, you know, will say, oh man, I just want to get even, you know, I just, mm-hmm. I want to get back at them for the pain that they've caused me, and how that was a normal thought for you, but how you didn't let yourself get there at the same time.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of, as you hear some kind of news like that, so basically what I heard that day was a death. Mm-hmm. The death was not a person in my family. The death was my marriage. Mm-hmm. And so with death comes those stages of grief. And, you know, there's so much information online that will tell you all the different stages. And what all psychologists and psychiatrists, what they all tend to agree on, it's not that there's a particular plan. You go this step, this step, this step. It's that you go through steps. And mm-hmm. so for me, I didn't get angry. I had moments throughout the months coming here and there, but for the most part, I just sunk deep into despair mm-hmm. and to sadness. And I was utterly hopeless. Like, I remember praying and saying, God, if you could just take me, mm-hmm. Chris is a good dad. He may not have been a good husband. He's still a decent dad. I know he'd take care of our son. Please let me come to heaven. I cannot live like this. And so that's where my mind went. And then once, of course, God wasn't taking me, I just said, okay, I got to figure out a plan. And so because my nature is to plan, I like a good plan. I like to be organized. I started thinking, okay, well, I'm going to be a single mom. I'm going to have to move back to Texas and live with my mom. I'm going to have to get a teaching job in a school district there because I did have a teaching degree. And I started going through all these things of like, well, my marriage is over. It's mm-hmm. ended. And so in that moment, there was no desire for revenge mm-hmm. because I was just utterly shocked mm-hmm. and heartbroken. And he was, let me just say this about him. He was completely broken mm-hmm. over what he had done. He was not saying, well, if you'd been a better wife, I wouldn't have done this. And, oh, if you had met my needs this way, he said, this was me. Mm-hmm. None of this was you. Which I later learned that there were definitely things I contributed to the condition of the marriage. But overall, I tried to do my part. Yeah. And his was just a symptom. His acting out physically was just a symptom of what was going on inside of him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting even is, a lot of women and men who are betrayed want to do that, and they think it's going to make them feel better. And I would say revenge is something that you cannot satiate. You cannot satisfy it. It always wants more.
Mm.
Yeah.
So good.
And I appreciate you being honest. You know, again, we know from what we've read and all things we've listened to is that everybody reacts differently, right? Everybody right. has different go-tos of that grief process, right? The different stages of grief. Some people are going to be extremely, like you said, just broken and over that, you know. I guess, Charity has shared with me that very similar things happened. I mean, many times throughout the restoration process that we underwent, she pictured herself by herself or, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. at times she would take the kids and go to the beach because we're near the ocean here in Southern California. And she would say, okay, what would it be like for me to go to the beach with all three? And so she actually would do things, not even like trying to take them away from me, just like, hey, I'm going to see what it's like if I can do this by myself. And
wow,
I just think I know that she had gone through similar things to what you're saying. You know, talk to me about that process a little bit, if you would, Cindy. Like, you had these thoughts, you had these emotions. What do you think you did very well initially that helped you not negate the despair, but work mm-hmm. through that?
Well, it was pretty heavy, I would say, for the first 3 weeks. Obviously, just think about someone who you've loved who passed away and the grief you had in the beginning. And then with each passing day, it's not that you miss them less. It's just that you kind of start working through, okay, they're not here. And you kind of start grasping what's the reality. Mm. And that's kind of what happened to me. So I thought, okay. And I had this husband who was saying, I'll do whatever it takes. I would love for us to stay together. I would do anything. And I'm watching him and he seems to be true to that sentiment for days. Mm. And then a week in, I don't think I've written about this, or maybe I did. It's been a while since I wrote that book. But I remember a week in, he said, hey, I have something else to tell you. Mm. And he had been going and talking with some guys from our church and they were saying, what else? Mm. And so he came back and told me more. Mm. And I was so upset because I felt like I backtracked. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
But what he explained to me was, and I can understand this, like he said, I was not trying to withhold this from you. I just remembered it. Like mm-hmm. there was so much in him and so many things that he had unfortunately done that on one day, if you think what you did over 2.5 years, all those dark secrets are going to just all of a sudden surface. They may not. And so that was hard. But, you know, walking through those early days in that despair, I clung to God. I mean, most of my prayers were just, Jesus, please help. Jesus, please. I mean, sometimes I just say his name. And I knew people were covering me in prayer. But the one thing I did in through it all, because even Pastor Craig preached 5 days later and was told our church, we only had 2 campuses back then, so it was a pretty small, and he told them what had happened, you know, without all the details, mm-hmm. but he did say it was a moral failure. And he told them that I had decided to stay. Well, I technically in my heart really hadn't. And I think people thought, well, she hasn't left, so she's decided to stay. And I'm thinking, well, no, I'm just not gone yet. But in my heart, I'm thinking I'm not sure that I'm willing to go down this road with him. But I told the Lord, I just said, God, if you will tell me what I'm supposed to do, if you will show me, not just what somebody's opinion is, but if you will show me something, speak to me through your word, let me know it is you. I will follow you. Mm. And that's really how I worked through some of that despair until the point when God finally did, you know, speak pretty clearly to me to stay.
Wow. That's amazing. And I love, you're like, wait a minute, have I made that decision yet? I can't even imagine being like, well, now my pastor just said it and all these people are looking at me. So the pressure, you know,
I would imagine that state, you're still in shock. You're still in that shock phase of like, I haven't made any decisions. I just haven't moved yet. You know, I just
decided to take a shower after 4 days. I mean, that's my decision for today. Yes.
You know what I hear you saying, Cindy, and I think this is so important for our listeners. And I love saying this. I get emotional when I talk about it, but there's only one reason why Charity and I are still together, and that's because of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I can never even slightly imagine the pain that Charity has gone through, or that you've gone through, that somebody has caused, that is supposed to be the person that is the knight in shining armor, the protector right. of the household, the provider. I mean, I just, there's no way for me to comprehend the amount of pain my wife went through. But I did want to just say what you were saying, and just say that it sounds like what you're saying is that in that moment, we, because it could be guys or girls that are going through betrayal, but right. the person who's going through betrayal is going to choose to run to the mindset of man, and they're going to choose to run to people, or they're going to run into the arms of the true healer, and mm-hmm. they're going to run to Jesus. And you're saying that the only way that you could have even made it in the beginning was by running to his arms. Did I hear you say that right?
Full force. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, a lot of people get mad at God when bad things happen to them, and that's understandable. I get it. Hard things have happened in my life that I've questioned God. But in this situation, God was the only one who hadn't let me down. Mm-hmm. You know, it was not God who failed my marriage. It was my husband. Mm-hmm. And that, so it was either, okay, I'm either going to trust God, the God I've served most of my life, or I'm going to run from him. Mm-hmm. And life is hard. I heard Dr. Tony Evans say this in a message. He said, you know, life is hard anyway when you do lean on God. Can you imagine when you run from him and you've got this double jeopardy against you? Mm. He said it far more eloquently than I did, but you know, to that understanding. And so I just thought, okay, God, I'm not, you know, I wasn't mad at God. I just, things started to make sense. And, I want to tag onto that. But like when he confessed everything, I knew something was wrong in our marriage. I just didn't know what it was. I couldn't put my finger on it. And so for that 2.5 year period where our marriage was kind of a wreck, most of it was when we were living in Tennessee. And I remember, gosh, tell me, God, show me. Mm. And the day he confessed to me, even in the midst of that devastation, I literally had the thought, oh, that's what was happening. Mm. So it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Mm. And I say that real tenderly because I am not saying I didn't cause problems in my marriage. I'm not saying it was just my husband. I don't believe that. I believe we all, you know, it takes two to make a marriage work and two to make a marriage fail. But for the most part, I wasn't acting out in any way like that. I was just being a human with human tendencies, which are imperfect. Totally. So that was, I don't know. I kind of did a little rabbit trail there. So
that was so good. 'Cause that reminds me of my own personal story. I think, you know, everyone has to kind of have their God moment, and mm-hmm. for, you know, the betrayed and, you know, my husband, and individually, right. It's not, I don't know if it happens together. For us, it didn't, but it was individually. And I remember this time where I was just so sad and I just felt like I needed to go away. And I went up to a hill. I was playing worship music and I started crying and crying, crying. I'm like, God, why me? Why is this happening to me? Like, I haven't done anything, right? As to what you were just saying, like, yeah, I'm imperfect. I've done some things, but I haven't, you know, done infidelity, you know, like I haven't done other things like that and broken his heart. And I just remember clear as day, this is what changed my heart. Is I just remember him saying, Charity, I have always been here. I have never hurt you. I have never betrayed you. If that, I love you. I hear you. I'm here for you. I see you. Cling on to me and know that I have too been betrayed and been in your shoes. Mm. And that's when I was just like, oh my gosh. And it just wrecked me. It wrecked my soul. It made me, I'm getting goosebumps as I talk about it right now, because it was just such a powerful moment between me and Christ. And for me to realize, okay, this is what I need to cling on to. This is where my hope's going to be. This is where my freedom's going to be. This is how I'm going to move forward and be able to learn how to forgive my husband, learn how to trust my husband and move forward and cling on to his hope and promises. So everything that you're saying, I'm like, yes, I totally know what you're talking about.
That's really good. I remember one night I was making spaghetti in the kitchen. And of course, I made it in the kitchen. You don't make it.
I was in the garage and I was out back making on the grill somehow. I was like, man, if you grill spaghetti, I got to learn that recipe. That sounds fantastic.
Awesome. Right. So I remember I was stirring the noodles so they wouldn't stick. And I remember I did ask God. I mean, it wasn't that I didn't ask God why. I just didn't get mad at him. I did. I said, God, why? Why'd you let this happen? Mm. And he just said, remember when you told me all those years ago that you'd do anything to bring glory to my name?
Mm.
And I just was shaking my head in my, you know, because it was all inside going in my head. And I just remember him saying, this is part of my plan to do that. And I'm not saying, obviously, God caused that. I don't believe that. Yeah. But he is sure going to work things out. Yeah. And that was part of the beginning of the redemption. I still didn't feel like I had an answer one way or another. But at least there was movement toward redemption versus, you know, toward the other.
Totally.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I would love to hear, you know, to transition a little bit, I'd love to hear about you guys and how you were able to move forward together and what that looked like. You know, I would love to hear on his side, what were some things that he did to start rebuilding that trust in your guys' relationship?
Yeah, well, I will tell you, he should be he's the poster child, in my opinion, for how to restore your marriage and your wife's trust back. What happened was he basically said, anything you want access to, you can have. Any question you want to ask me, you can ask. Mm. Anything you want from me, anything, I will do it. And I remember one time he said, I will answer any question, but you just have to know some of the answers may not help you in your healing. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I started talking to people about, you know, when you want to ask these questions, because that's pretty typical. I don't know how guys do it who've been betrayed, like if it's typical for them to want to keep asking questions of their wives. But mm-hmm. for women, that typically happens for us. And I remember him saying, is this going to help you or is this going to hinder you, your healing? And so that's kind of where I try to help women today. I'm like, there are some questions that need to be asked, but some that you don't want to ask. So, but he was just an open book, and he started meeting with men, in our church, and Pastor Craig had set up for us to meet with this couple named Jim and Beth. I think you guys mentioned them.
Yes.
In some questions you might want to ask me later, but basically Chris started meeting with them and met with some of the pastors that were on the team and this kind of walking him through. He met with a counselor and he started doing his own recovery. Mm-hmm. And I say that because some people may think, gosh, was he not caring about you, Cindy? And I'm like, yeah, he was. He was sweet to me. He was nice to me. He was home. But like the way he was caring for me was getting himself better, because how could our marriage heal with two broken people, you know, because I was broken in one way and he was broken in another way.
Yes.
And so the fact that he was doing these things to try to restore, just to see himself restored, was encouraging for me. He, as we kind of went on through the months, if he left somewhere, you know, we actually did get one cell phone. This was back in 2002, and neither of us had a cell phone until then. And, or maybe we did in Tennessee, but in Oklahoma, we hadn't had one, which is so funny because you would never not have one now.
Yeah,
but
it's your lifeline.
Yeah, it's your lifeline. But back then, we could only afford one. And so he had it. And then I would use the old school landline, you know, to call him from home. But, and there was no tracking each other. It was just, he would call me and say, hey, I got to this place. I'm with so-and-so. But, and then even today, like his mindset through this whole time, even all these years later, is I know where my wife might struggle. What can I do to make sure that I do everything I can to help prevent that? And so if he's going to work late at church on the some evening or whatever, he might say, hey, honey, let me let you talk to so-and-so. And then the person will get on the phone. Hey, Chris is here. We're just working. And, you know, we'll try to get him out of here as soon as we can. And I would say, okay, thanks. And everybody knew, like people just knew he was trying to fix his marriage. And yeah. nobody was judging him. They were so proud of him for doing the hard things. And so, you know, he just worked so hard to rebuild my trust and to not, he wasn't defensive. He wasn't mad that he had to do it. He knew that his actions had caused this. So,
you know, I think that is so important for the guys listening to this podcast to go back. So go ahead. You hear me. Rewind this. Go back about 4 or 5 minutes and play that again.
Yes.
Because that right there, I think, is one of the biggest keys that rebuilds trust in a relationship. It's being an open book and saying, I'm willing to do things that maybe make me uncomfortable. Maybe I don't think I need to do them. I don't understand why. It sounds like Chris was like, none of those things matter, right? Yeah. What matters the most is my wife feeling safe when there is a potential trigger. And right. being out when she doesn't know when I'm going to get home could be a trigger. Not knowing where I am, all these things. And we talk about that a lot on we have on a recent YouTube video we did. And it just is so important to do that. And especially yeah. if, you know, there are things that Charity does that are not my, you know, MO, where she goes, what time are you leaving? What time are you going to come back? Well, I'm mm-hmm. kind of a free spirit. You know, Cindy, I just want to come back when right, I feel like it.
Right. You
know,
I'm like, when you feel like
babe,
it.
Don't put a limit on the conversation I'm going to have with my buddy, you know?
And, right.
and she is not trying to control me. She's trying to create a safe environment for her.
Yeah.
She's trying yeah. to get rid of a trigger that says, what's he doing right now? You don't know where he's yeah. at. You and all those things. And so respectfully, is it more important for me to have freedom or is it more important for me to have an awesome marriage? And I think yeah. a guy has to say at some point, I'm willing to do whatever it takes because my marriage is the top priority.
For sure. And one of the things he also did is it was a trigger for me to call his phone and get voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, I forget, he did have a cell phone when we were in Tennessee. And when he would go on ministry appointments, and I'm using air quotes because that's what he called it, he would turn his phone off. And it would go to voicemail. Mm-hmm. And so once everything was out, I said, you have a cell phone now and you can never let it go to voicemail.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, that's hard. That's a pretty, you know, hard line. But I told him, I said, if you can do anything in your power, not to let me go to mm-hmm. voicemail. I didn't call him all the time. I wasn't like one of those people who called him 5 times a day, but if I called you, I just need you to answer. And so yeah. on occasion, there would probably be a couple times that he didn't. And then he would, turn around immediately, call me back if he missed mm-hmm. it. Or he might even send me one of those texts where you had to like type the number 3 times to get a certain letter. I mean, it's crazy old school stuff I'm talking about electronically, but he would do whatever he could to just try to help me. Because in my mind, if I went to voicemail, I didn't want to think that, but that's what I thought for years is what he's doing. So again, the trigger is definitely, that's what's hard, you know,
yep.
that's the hardest thing is the pain. Yep. So,
well, cause it brings you back to what you feel like is square one. And right. then you like start having all these thoughts and anxiety and, you know, just all these different memories and your imagination just goes wild. And so
sure.
you have to learn how to, you know, properly treat a trigger, or you can just go down a downward spiral, and it's so painful.
Yeah, for sure.
Before we move on, I can't not share this, but when you were talking, there's 2 things that stood out to me, and I think that were incredible. And one is pretty much what you were saying is Chris got to a place where he was willing to do whatever it took for as long as it took. And right. There was no pride there, right? There was just this humble spirit that was like, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make, you know, you feel safe.
Right.
And then I loved what you said. You know, you said, it's not that you weren't like expecting Chris to like buy you flowers and pursue you, but you also realized too that he was at a vulnerable place in his life. And so were you. And yeah. how can you expect somebody to help you when you're in such a low place? I mean, I kind of put it, I was talking to Clint, I got this imagery last week, and I said, you know, why I believe it's so important for both individuals to get healing and go on a recovery journey is because you both, it's like you both just got shot like five times. And so you're both just laying there on the ground, both bleeding out. And you can't look to the other person and be like, hey, can you come bandage me up? You know, right. Like you just, right. It's not a realistic expectation. And that's where I feel like two individuals are in the beginning of recovery. And that's what I heard you saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's hard, because I've talked to a lot of women and they're like, you know, he's going to see his counselor and he's spending time with men who are helping him and he doesn't want to do, and I'm like, are you hearing yourself? I mean, he's trying to get better.
Yes.
And I would say, again, I keep saying he, because that's who my,
yeah, it's okay. We do that all the time.
You're good.
We mainly talk to he's that are the ones struggling with this. So you're good.
Yeah, for sure. But, so it's just, I just think that we have got to heal individually before we start healing the marriage. And that's hard for a lot of women. They want to get that marriage fixed right away. Yep. And it's kind of like, you know, like you said, that those gunshot wounds, if you try to fix the marriage before those wounds, you're just putting a Band-Aid on a gaping hole that needs actually probably some surgical procedures.
Yes.
So good. I remember Charity. Yeah, it was, we got to tell a comical story here. We're co-authoring our book right now. So we're writing our book right now. And it's so fun because these stories come up and we have analogies and it's so fun. And just, it's giving life to our relationship. It's so, we're having a great time. And we were trying to recall stories, right, to fill in our book. And one thing that I remembered was Charity said exactly what you said. She was really mad, actually, that I wasn't pursuing her. And she was like, here's how it should work, right? You should betray me, and then you should wash my feet and give me every day, give me foot massages, and you should never walk in that door without two dozen roses. You know, that's just like not even a question, right? And so it was recommended, because she had expressed that to somebody that was a counselor. They recommended us going and getting different books on, you know, I forget what they were called. What are they called, Tara? Remind me.
Pursuit.
Yeah, in pursuit, and these different days to like 31 days to rebuilding, you know, these things, right? And I was like, okay, cool. But I never went out and bought them because I was so focused on my own recovery. It was not on the forefront of my mind, which looking back, I could have done a better job at. But all of a sudden, the books just showed up. You know, it was amazing how I didn't have to order them, right? They were next to my bedside all of a sudden, and Charity was kind of pushing them towards me every night before bed. And, you know, and looking back, she is now like, oh my gosh, like, I was asking you to do something that is pretty tough, but rightfully, I get it at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's not that you can't do some sweet things, because Chris did.
Yes.
He did some sweet things, but you just have to understand that there's got to be some individual recovery.
Yes.
So.
Couldn't agree more.
I would love to transition that for, I love your story of talking about your guys' home, and it's not that I love that your home, you know, got burned, but I love the analogy of how you use that for good and how God kind of just, you know, correlated that with your guys' story. Can you just share about that experience and how you guys have used that now as a key point as to building a new foundation with something like this has happened in your marriage?
Yeah, for sure. So we... June of 2013, so a little over 7 years ago, we were asleep in our house, and God woke me up, and I was like, what is going on? And I walked around, and I saw flames shooting out of our attic vent, and I was like, oh, my house is on fire. And so thankfully, we all got out, including our dog, and we live a little bit out in the country, so there's no fire hydrants, and so it's hard to put a fire out. So basically our house burned mostly to the ground before the firefighters could really do, you know, get here with all the water. But they did a great job. But other than that, it's just living out in the country life. But so we lost everything with the exception of a few little things that were salvaged in the ashes. And as we were grieving some of the material possessions, we had lost mostly sentimental stuff, you know, God just kind of began to show us some things. And the biggest thing that he showed us is as we were dealing with our insurance company, they came to us and they said, it looks like your foundation is damaged. So the fire burned from the attic down, so from the top down. And he said, looks like your foundation is fine, so we can just rebuild a new house on this same foundation. And Chris and I were, I mean, it just was one of those light bulb moments. We're like, wow. That's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. And I know that you're the insurance agent and I respect you, but you're crazy. Yeah. I'm not building something brand new on an old foundation. And so out of that, what's funny is the second book I wrote, Rebuilding a Marriage Better Than New, is based upon that story. And it's from my husband. My husband said, I have your next book. And I said, okay, tell me what I'm going to write, you know? And he's the one who was like telling me all this stuff. And it was just his epiphany. And I mean, the foundation, us, of course, thinking that building on a burnt foundation was a bad idea was both of us, but the whole turning it into a book. And so, but that's what people do. It's let's just take the couple that we were kind of alluding to is like, she wants him to fix the marriage and he's trying to fix himself. Like you're trying to build a new marriage on this brokenness that's still there. And so that was so profound for us that we had to learn to communicate in new ways. And so even all these years, I mean, like I said, we've been on this journey for over 18 years. There's still moments where I'm like, oh, hey, we need to probably think through that and talk through that. And, oh, that's not a good idea. Or that's the way the old people would have, old Chris and Cindy would have responded. And so, it was a pretty, I don't know if I answered exactly what you were looking for in that question, but it was a really impactful experience. It was heart-wrenching. It wasn't devastating. So when our house burned and we lost everything, we were just thankful that all of us were alive and that the only thing that burned was something that could be replaced. Because we've experienced devastation and that was our marriage falling apart.
Yeah.
Losing a material possessions doesn't even hold a candle to what we experienced in 2002. Mm-hmm. So, it was also another testimony to us that we enjoyed our material possessions. There's nothing wrong with enjoying, you know, a piano and, you know, things we had in the house, but we didn't love them. Like they didn't hold our hearts. And so losing them, the whole situation was traumatic because obviously we were still asleep in the house. God, he still spared us. And I praise him for that. But lots of lessons in that house story. I mean, you could, lots of them, they're all in the second book. So I don't know if you have any other questions, but I'm sure answer them if you do.
That was fantastic. No, we're going to make our listeners buy that book. We're like, listen, okay, you don't get all of them on the podcast, man. Go buy her book, you know?
Yeah.
That is so good. And I love that. I think that's so powerful. And isn't that so cool how God does that?
He
uses his traumatic things to like, hey, here's a book. And then out of that comes this amazing story that can now impact millions of people. I mean, that is so cool to me how it's true, man. When it says, what is that? What verse is that? Is that Romans? Oh, I'm going to butcher
8:28,
right?
He uses all things for the good. Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Yeah. That's it right there. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear about, you know, just giving our listeners some hope on here for a little bit before we close out and just, you know, talking about, I mean, there's a lot we could talk about, but what have you seen God do? What are some things you've seen God do through your decision and Chris's decision to be restored, to stay together? What are some things that you just go, man, I cannot believe God used it for that?
Well, there's so many. And it makes me feel a little uncomfortable to say, hey, look what God did to you. Look what how he used us. You know, that's hard for someone like me to like actually speak, but I also want to bring glory to him. So, sure. One of the things that, to hear people, even Charity, when you said this earlier, when we were just talking before the podcast, but like hearing people say, I would not be married without your book. Some people have said, Cindy Beale saved my marriage. I'm like, oh, I don't think I did, but thank you. And so I see those things. And then I think of this couple that, lives in our town. And when they went through it with, he was unfaithful, we walked them through it. And now they have a thriving ministry and they've helped hundreds of couples. Mm-hmm. And he does pastoral counseling. And I look at them and I think, I can't believe that. Wow. I can't believe that we got to be a part of that. And so I just, knowing that people, I hear the most common thing I hear from women when they read my first book is, you made me feel like I wasn't crazy. Mm-hmm. You made me feel like I wasn't alone. Mm-hmm. And you said everything that my heart was feeling, but I just couldn't say it. Mm-hmm. And so it's in those moments that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was in that first book for sure. I'm not saying he wasn't in the second one, but the first one, I mean, it was in me for 9 years before it released. So God told me in 2002, you know, I don't even remember when it was, but that year of finding everything out, God was like, you're going to write a book. And I'm like, what? Hmm. Okay. You know, and sure enough, and 9 years later is when it released with my publisher. So, the other most important thing I want to tell you. So I love grammar. I'm a nerd, total word nerd and punctuation. And I love to edit and I'm just one of those people. So when I was a freshman in high school, I failed the writing part of my achievement test.
Oh, wow.
I barely made it out of high school being able to write.
Wow.
I couldn't even write. Yeah. Couldn't even write papers. And so people have always thought, oh, you must have been born writing.
Wow.
You must have. And I'm like, you have no idea that when I left high school, I couldn't even get into a 4-year college because my SAT scores were so low.
Wow.
And so it's comical to me. And I'm not trying to be falsely humble here, but when people say, man, you're such a great writer, like I literally have this kind of laugh going with God in my head, like, God, this is hilarious that this is what I'm doing. Like, I write for a living. I mean, it's my job.
Yeah.
And I just think it's hilarious that God will take whatever, if we'll leave our hands open, our palms open, and we walk before him and we say, hey, God, I'll give you whatever. I don't have a lot to give you in my own flesh, but I'll give it to you. And if you want to turn it into gold, okay. Great. And so he took my inability to construct sentences properly. And he took it and he made it into something that would help people stay married when the world would say, hey, just ditch your spouse, go try with someone else. And I'm still dumbfounded by that personally.
I love that. God doesn't call the equipped, man. He equips the called. That's for sure.
For sure.
That is so cool. Sure.
I just think, oh my goodness, when you were sharing, my heart was just like, oh my gosh, we're so similar. because God, same exact thing. Like, I feel like God was saying when I had found out and was moving forward, I remember God just saying like, hey, you guys are going to start a podcast and you're going to write a book. And I am not. Like, my husband makes fun of me. I am terrible at theirs.
I don't
and
make fun of you, do I?
Right.
There, yes. There and there. Okay, yes. Yes. I don't know the difference. It's still.
Yeah, it's okay.
And it's just like, oh my gosh. But what I felt like I was telling me is it doesn't matter. And he gave me the story of Moses. Like, when Moses, he put a big calling on Moses' life, and it doesn't matter if you're the most eloquent speaker, because if you allow God to move through you, then he's going to get all the glory and he's going to do it. So just be a light, be the vessel that I need you to be. And then I'm going to do everything else. And that's what I hear you with when you share your story. And I'm so grateful, Cindy, that you allowed God and you just had those open hands to move through you, to work through you, because your book was pivotal in my healing process. And I remember the title grabbed my attention. I read it and I was just like, oh my gosh, if she can do this, then I can do this. And yes, not only were you putting names to feelings that I couldn't do yet, and you made me feel not alone and heard and seen, but I was just like, okay, like, she's gotten through this, then I can get through this. And you have boys, I have boys. And I was just like, yes, like, I can do this. So I just personally want to say, just from my testimonial and story that you have totally allowed God to work through you. And I appreciate you for you not holding on to your pain in your story, but sharing it with others, because it's brought healing definitely in my life and in our marriage.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. I'm so thankful to hear that you guys are on that path and on that journey. And thanks for not giving up. Thanks for being a light for you guys, for the listeners who listen to you guys. So.
One thing you're so passionate about that I love, because we are as well, is that you are passionate about marriages having a better marriage even after right. this than they ever did before. I think a lot of people, they go through this and go, oh my gosh, is my marriage ever going to be the same? And our answer is no. And why in the world would you ever want it to be?
Yes.
You know, right. And I would love for you to talk about your belief in that. Obviously, you and Chris are a living example of a couple who can be restored, be healed, be transformed. And I would love to hear just your beliefs on that.
Yeah. Well, when people say, well, my marriage, whatever you said, will my marriage ever be whatever it was back, they want to know, is it going to go back to normal?
Yeah.
And it's crazy that we think normal is healthy.
Yes.
Sometimes normal is, it doesn't mean it isn't. But for the most part, if you look at the normal way, these accepted standards we have in our world, different societies, different cultures, if you look at those things, normal often is pretty jacked up.
Yes.
It is normal to go into nonstop debt as long as you can afford the payments. It is normal to get revenge when someone hurts you. You know, those things like that. That's normal.
Yep.
And so if you want your marriage to go back to normal, then you're missing out on what it can't. So let's do better than new. Let's better than people say new normal, and that's fine too. But like, let's go better than normal. Let's be beyond what we could have ever dreamed of. And just be willing to say, okay, that was good, but this is going to be even better. So like when I look at my marriage, if you looked at my marriage resume, some people might say there's a big stamp upon it that says adultery. Mm. Okay. So what? Okay. Yeah, maybe it was, but I'm telling you, the joy and the life and the hope that I have experienced in these last 18 plus years with my husband. And I know people who don't have adultery stamped on their resume. Maybe they're not experiencing it. And Chris and I had no option. We either fought hard and pushed through it and worked on everything we had to get it, or we didn't. And so we just chose to work at it. And so everybody can have an amazing marriage. It's just, where are you going to put your effort? And so I would just say, don't go back to normal. Whoever's listening, if you think, oh, I just want to go back to normal, don't settle for that. Don't settle for that, because there's so much more God wants to give you if you'll just trust him. I mean, he is the God who gives us more than we can imagine. He is beyond our thoughts. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. So don't go back to normal. It's time for better.
Come on. I'm so fired up right now. I love that. Normal's jacked up.
I felt like I need to take an offering or something.
You know, every week, Charity, what she does is to promote the podcast, you know, she puts a quote of what somebody says in the podcast as a promotional. I want to put that. Normal's jacked up. Now, that probably wouldn't do the marketing thing that Charity sees. Yeah. And I'm not a marketing person, but I just like that, man. That is so true. You know, you can't settle for normal.
No. And
I've heard that good is the enemy of great. And it's so true.
We were both just getting so fired up as you were talking, because it's so true. Like, why would you want to go back to lies, deceit, shame, you know, just all these secrets where that's not true intimacy. Like, God created intimacy that could be so much greater. Intimacy is being fully known and being accepted and loved with that. And that's what you can have if you do everything that you talked about on this podcast. If you get personal recovery, if you then dig up the burnt foundation, you know, if you then start building together an incredible marriage with Christ, and then seeing what God can do with the fruition of your obedience to help other people. I mean, oh my gosh, what incredible life and journey. Right. Like everything that you've shared gets me excited. It gets me excited to push through. It gets me hopeful. Your story is just hope. It's excitement. Mm-hmm. It's restored. It's redemptive. It's just, it's incredible.
As we wrap up this podcast, Cindy, I would love for our listeners to know where they can go for some of your resources. Can you please tell them about the website and the books you're doing? I want them to go and get all this information. Talk to us.
Yeah, for sure. So you can go to cindybeale.com and see where my books are linked, but I just really link them to Amazon. That's what I tell people. Those are probably the easiest place to get my books. You can go to a local bookstore, but you can probably get it quicker through Amazon. And so that's definitely one. I do a lot of, I sometimes contribute to other kind of like online conferences. So I'll usually post those on my website as well. But that's probably the best place for people to get information.
Love that.
And then can I just ask you one last question?
Yes.
Okay. I would love to ask you, you know, we are all about being future focused and we are so excited for what God is doing and what he's going to do. Can you just share with us your vision and what you're looking forward to right now?
Well, yes, sure. I am excited about some things in my family that are coming up. I can't really say anything right now, but probably by the time this posts, next week, there will be some kind of announcement made.
Cool.
So exciting. People can check out my Instagram. So there's a little teaser. The other thing is my publisher just reached out to me this summer, and I have not told this publicly to anybody. So you guys are the first people.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. So I am actually, next October will be 10 years since my first book released, and we are doing a re-release. And it will have new content in it.
Wow.
And because by the time it releases, it will have almost been about 20 years since our marriage imploded.
Wow.
And so I'm going to go through the book and put little things in there like 20 years later.
That's going to be so cool.
Gosh.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about part of it. So that will release next fall of 2021, which is the 10 years. My book has still been out. So yeah, that's probably something pretty exciting. And also family wise, my husband and I were less than 2 years away from being empty nesters.
So this is kind of
it's crazy. I know, I'm getting old. So, but it's good. I'm getting closer to Jesus. So that's the way I look at it.
You know what though? Praise God that you guys are so close, right? Mm. Because as you know, so many couples lose their identity because it was wrapped up in the kids. And you guys are doing so much good work for the kingdom and with people that you're going to keep just plowing forward.
We're going for it. I'm going to be used up before I leave this earth.
I'm so glad God didn't take you when you asked him to.
Yes. Right. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Cindy, it has been a pleasure to have you on this podcast. The wisdom you've shared, this has been a joy. We've laughed. We've got some amazing moments. We're just very thankful. Is there anything that you would like to share before we end our recording here?
Yeah, I just would say to the couple who's listening, you know, don't be afraid of the pain. When we go through our pain and when we handle it and walk through it in a healthy way, we are simultaneously healing at the same time. And so don't be afraid to push through that pain. And then every so often, turn around and look behind you or look in your rearview mirror and see the progress you've made, because the progress is what will spur us on to keep going. So you don't have to have this most amazing your most amazing marriage within a week or even 2 months, but look for the progress, because before you know it, you'll be so far and you can't even believe you got there.
Wow, that was so powerful. Mm. Thank you so much. I know we got so much hope, and I know our listeners are going to gain so much hope too.
Thanks for being with us, Cindy. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Loved it.
I'm yours until the end of time.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for the upcoming course. You can also connect with us on the Ask Us Anything page at restoredtomore.com. Also, quick note, All the work at Restored to More Inc., including this podcast, is made possible by our donors and financial partners. We wouldn't be here without those who have generously given to the cause of restoration. If you ever feel led to give, you can do so on the donate page on our website,